It's been quite nice actually, sort of reading the pastimes of not only the pregnancy of DT, but the follow on that happens afterwards. And it's interesting that DT is taking full responsibility for her actions. In modern day society, we pass that on to other people, don't we? It's always somebody else. It's always the situation. It's always the patriarchy. It's always, you know, my upbringing, if I was only brought up this way. But she's taking full responsibility. And for me as a healthcare professional, it takes quite a bit of keeping hold of the baby for as long as she did. She didn't want to give birth because she knew that she was giving birth to demons. So she's holding on to the baby within the uterus as much as she can. And I used to do, where if it was a planned cesarean section because of problems with the child, so I'd be there with the incubator and the child pediatric crash team back in the day. And so you'd see the mother, she's relieved that she's given birth to the baby, but what's the first thing she wants to do is she wants to see the baby. I want to see my child. Under them circumstances, the child's whipped away, and she looks through it through a plastic piece of Perspex. Quite traumatic. But DT's holding on. So she's holding on because she doesn't want the darkness to prevail. But even within the birth, we see this inauspiciousness prevailing, don't we? We see this inauspiciousness. And the Brahmanas are very well tuned in. This is devotional service. Are we tuned into our devotional service? Are we tuned into our regular chanting, our regular reading? Are we tuned into doing our seva? And do we notice if there's any difference or if there's any alteration within that? My rounds weren't particularly good today because I was distracted. I was thinking of something else. Was my reading not that I wasn't pondering over what I was reading? Am I just glancing through? You know, am I just doing the reading because it's I have to do it? Am I doing my service because I've been told to? Or am I really getting into the service itself? Am I really enjoying this service today? But the Brahmanas are noticing that things just aren't quite right. Things just aren't quite going right today. So what do they do? And this is the most, for me, this is one of the most interesting points, is that they go immediately to authority, don't they? So I was pondering that, and every day we say the same quote. And I thought, what I'd do is I'd just read it, what Srila Prabhupada wrote here. And he wrote a very tiny little comment on it. Do you remember this one? I'm a journey to understand, Jalandalan Salakiran, Kasai Utama Jaina, Tasmai Shigrihe Namaha. Every day we tell that, don't we? Yeah? I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the touch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Prabhupada goes on to say, this gives the definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciple and saves him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in the material world is a true guru. It's quite a powerful little statement, that, isn't it? So I was reading that at 2 o'clock in the morning. So we have strange shifts, 8 o'clock in the morning, we finish 9:30, 10 the following day. And that's quite a nice meditation at 2 o'clock in the morning, that, isn't it? I was born in the darkness of ignorance. If you think about it, we're all born in the age of Kali Yuga, under inauspicious circumstances, aren't we? Because generally there is just the modes of passion and ignorance, and we're pushed into the material world. Our whole life is ahead of us, but with lots of questions. And so we start seeking, don't we? We start asking questions. And if you've ever been around a toddler, what's the toddler's favourite question? Why? 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 Are they saying it just because it's a word that they know, or are they trying to get the information? Yeah. You know, don't touch that why. Don't do that why. Getting information. Then we go to school and we're getting more information. But what we're getting taught in schools? Nonsense. Complete nonsense. We're not getting taught about Vedic wisdom. Now, some of you are fortunate enough to have been brought up in... How many were brought up in devotee families? Jai. Second, third generation? Third generation, wow. Second, third generation devotees are the most powerful. Yeah, all glories to you, Prabhu. Thank you. Well, most of us were born in ignorance, weren't we? I had some spiritual family, you know, because they brought me up as a Jehovah's Witness. Would you like to talk about the Bible today? I was doing book distribution from 5 with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah. But generally, darkness of witness. But we're fortunate, aren't we? Because what do? We meet the devotee. The devotee brings us into Krishna consciousness. And then by the mercy of the devotees, we then meet our spiritual masters, don't we? And eventually we get to the stage where we can have initiation, and we think that that's the end of the journey, when actually it's pretty much the start. There's so much to learn. My Guru Maharaj is always reminding me that Sastra is always ever fresh and ever new. I sat here reading this, I was thinking it's ever fresh and ever new. But it also reminded me of a very sad story from when I first came to Krishna consciousness. And it's a story that has remained with me. It's one that I ponder over quite a lot. Where we can actually meet the devotees, we can meet Guru, but we can throw it all away. And I thought, you know, the Brahmanas, what did they do? They were having difficulty. They went and they saw, you know, we're going to go to the top person here. We're going to go to Brahmana. Brahmana will know. We're going to Guru. Sometimes pride and ignorance takes over and we forget to go to either our senior devotees or we go to Guru. So I'm going to tell you this very sad story, okay? So it was in my very early days of coming to Krishna consciousness, and when I first came to Krishna consciousness, the preaching center that was at was run by the Matajis. For the first, I'd say about 4 months, all I knew devotee-wise was the Matajis. That's all I knew. Amazing devotees. Then I met a wonderful devotee and his wife, Tusta Krishna. And he was there when I got my first set of Srimad Bhagavatam books. And he helped take them to the car, and he opened it up, and he's pulling it out, and said, "Oh, you've got to read this one. It's all, and you've got to." And he was telling me all about the different bits of. But there was a young devotee that came along, and his knowledge appeared to surpass that of the Matajis. So the Matajis would start speaking, and he'd go, "Yes, but you're missing this point. You're missing this verse." Wow, this person seems to be fixed up and knows what they're doing. Impression, isn't it? You get the impression that because the person can relay Sastra, The person can relay all these different slokas that they must be fixed up. Yeah. You're all sat here looking at me thinking this must be a fit person who's sat on a Fiosa stand, okay? Yeah. Probably the biggest rascal in the room, probably, yeah. Anyway, the Matagis got recalled to New Zealand. And they were only in Manchester for a very short time. And I can tell you that I turned up and two other people turned up about the same time. And one of the young girls that turned up, she was at one stage the number one book distributor in New Zealand. Amazing devotee. And the other devotee has been doing extraordinary things in Wales. So two amazing devotees. So that's just a little bit of background. But this young devotee, he had it that he's going to move into the temple. He's going to do things the right way. The right way, yeah? Was they checking on authority? No. Did they ask authority? No. But they were going to move into the temple. So they moved into the small preaching temple. The first thing they did was a cleansing ceremony. Ooh. To cleanse it from the inauspiciousness of the Matagis. Can you believe it? Oh my goodness gracious me. The Matagis that were going out every day doing book distribution, I used to love picking them up from book distribution. They'd get in the car, I'd finish work, they'd get in the car, they'd tell me these amazing stories of book distribution. They were amazing devotees. You know, so the temple didn't need cleansing. The temple needed more devotees like that. Yeah. So we notice that the first thing that's happened is the offense to the devotee. The devotee that's dedicated their life to serving Krishna consciousness, to serving Guru, because they were following whose orders were they following? The orders of the spiritual master. Go out, distribute books, make devotees. That was their order, and that's what they carried out. Well, it got a little bit worse. Oh, my heart sinks. So they'd done the cleansing ceremony. So everything was auspiciously right. Maybe. Then difficulties start coming. Financially, things weren't as they were meant to be. Anybody's taken any time to speak to any of the Prabhupada disciples, especially the early ones who are at Buri Place, the first Prabhupada disciples to come here from Bhaktivedanta Manor, they will tell you how difficult it was financially here. You know, money wasn't pouring in. They would go out and do Sankirtan, and as they were giving the money, it was being used in devotional service. One Prabhupada disciple was saying, you know, we used to look forward to the love feast on Sunday because that was the only time we had really good prasadam, and the rest of the time it was very basic because that's all the devotees could afford. But he said, I'd do it all over again because of Srila Prabhupada. But difficulties had arisen. Difficulties are always there, both in spiritual world and material world. A lot of people will say, oh, I don't want to be a devotee because it's difficult, and yet we'll go through great austerity in work. I always think that's an irony. Yeah, so we'll go through austerity in work, but come to devotion, we're not too sure. But difficulty arrived. Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Oh, you rascal. I'm doing devotional stuff. I'm living in the temple. Why are you not providing for my needs? That's another big mistake, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Because when we're having difficulty, what do? Please, Krishna, I don't know how to deal with the problem. Please help me. This is what the Brahmanas are doing, isn't it? They're going and they're going, please help me. I don't know what to do. The early devotees will go to Prabhupada and they go, Prabhupada, I don't know how to deal with this. What should I do? There's one instance where, you know, so the devotees were finding one person very, very difficult. And of Prabhupada, you've got to do something. We can't tolerate it anymore. And Prabhupada went, well, I tolerate you. I tolerate you. Yeah. We're here together and we're tolerating each other. And I'm sure there's many things about me that a lot of people go, oh, please, you know. Isn't it? So he started to criticize Krishna, but then it got worse. And you're thinking it couldn't got any worse than that. But we had a phone call. When you reach my level of perfection, who thinks that they've reached a good level of perfection? Who thinks they're still a work in progress? Yeah, we're all a work in progress, okay. How many of you look at other devotees and think that they've reached a level of perfection? There's some great saintly devotees around, isn't there? Yeah. This is Vaishnava etiquette, isn't it? So we see the purity in what the devotees are doing, but we actually realize, you know, that Krishna is working on us. So what he's doing is he's putting a mirror in front of us and we're seeing all the imperfections. And rather than us being able to blame other people for the imperfections, we're having to look deeper into ourselves and we're changing ourselves. This is Krishna consciousness. This is why as you start advancing in Krishna consciousness, it could get to the point where it seems to be getting a little bit more difficult. It's only getting difficult because we're dealing with our true self. And as we work through our true self, we get better. But he'd reached a level of perfection that none of you could reach. So much so that even Maya Devi couldn't touch him. He could read anything. He could watch any TV program or movie. When you reach that level of perfection, Maya cannot touch you. Oh. What did we learn from Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada was always wary, wasn't he? That at any stage you can drop down. Prabhupada was once asked, is there any fall down in Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada went, nope. And then the first thing he went and did is say, please, Krishna, help me not to fall down. Humble, wasn't he? Please, Krishna. I'm in the material body. He understood that at any stage he could fall down. So who was he relying on? Krishna and his Guru Maharaj. Whose instructions was he following? His Guru Maharaj's instruction. How often had he met him? 11 times, yeah. But only very short, wasn't it? So it's not about how often we spend or how much time we spend with the Guru. It's do we take the instruction to heart? So more and more difficulty started coming. And then one day, he was gone. So much knowledge. But without devotion and without understanding the nature of devotional service, the knowledge is useless. The Brahmanas were concerned because they were having difficulty doing their service. So they stopped. Service is difficult. What is going on? When we're finding difficulty, do we turn to one of our senior devotees or a devotee that we trust? And as devotees, are we open to listening to devotees who are struggling without condemnation? Are they able to say, this is the level that I'm struggling at, without us going, well, You're a devotee, you know the rules, chant Hare Krishna, off you go. Yeah. Are we going to listen and give practical help? Yeah. For help, yeah, we've got to. He's the boss. Yeah. Now, it's interesting. I'm going to tell you what happened to me last week. And I'm going to thank every single devotee that was here at Bhaktivedanta Manor that morning. As I said, started 8 o'clock. And I was coming close to the end the following day. So I finished about 9:30 the following day. And from about 6 o'clock, there was a slight altercation, to which I was at the brunt end of it. So the verbal abuse was coming. These things were getting thrown, you know. Oh my goodness, Krishna, Krishna, what to do, what to do? And then after a while, I could feel the struggle. So, what do we do when we're hearing struggles? So the Shingadev prayers are the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, isn't it? So, I thought, you know, in this situation, I need to keep a check on myself, so I need Nrisimhadev to keep a check on me. So I started, Namaste, Nrisimhaya. I started singing the Nrisimhadev prayers. And then the next thing, I started singing, Govindam Adipusham Tamam Vajami. And I was here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, looking at the curtains, waiting for them to open, with the great saintly devotees around me. The situation hadn't changed. I was still in the room. I was still getting visibly abused. I was still getting things thrown at me. But for some reason, I was sat here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And the curtains opened, and who was there? Radha Gokulananda. Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Shri Gaurinitai. And then followed by an ecstatic kirtan, Jai. All glories to the Lordships. And I was pondering how fortunate I am that there must have been some greatly devotee here at Bhaktivedanta Manor at that point thinking about me. And as I looked at the clock, what time was it? 7 o'clock in the morning. I think, wow, Krishna. I'm in work, but I'm with the devotees, taking darshan of the Lordships and listening to ecstatic kirtan. This is the mercy of the devotees. This is the mercy of Guru. Taking shelter of the Guru when we're having difficulty is, without a shadow of a doubt, the greatest gift that the devotee gives you. No matter what situation you find yourself in, the devotee will always be there. And here in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, whenever there is light, there cannot be darkness. When a living entity becomes Krishna conscious, he is immediately relieved of all material lusty desires. Lusty desires, desires of want. Lusty desires and greeds are associated with ragas and tasma, passion of darkness. When one becomes Krishna conscious, the modes of passion and darkness immediately vanish. And then the mode of goodness remains. When one is situated in the mode of goodness, he can make spiritual advancement and understand things clearly. This position is not possible for everyone. Take note of that. When a person is Krishna consciousness, he continually hears about Krishna, think about him, worship him, and serve him as a devotee. If he remains in Krishna consciousness in this way, devotional service, if you remain in Krishna consciousness in this way, the darkness of Maya certainly will not be able to touch him. Devotional service is the key. Reading, chanting, sadhana. And if we find that one of them is missing or there's a problem, please, please, please check. Go to a senior devotee, a devotee that you trust, and reveal your mind and ask for help. And not only do we ask for help, but we follow the instruction. And that way, our life will be successful no matter what situation we find ourselves in. And the devotees and Krishna will always be at your side. So, any questions, thoughts, corrections? It's actually quite a small one, isn't it? 359, isn't it? It says, the purport. Yeah, because of complete darkness throughout the universe, the regular activities and engagement of all the different planets are suspended. In the north and south poles of this planet, there are sometimes no division of day and night. Similarly, when the sunlight does not approach the different planets within the universe, there is no distinction between day and night. It's a heavy one, isn't it? Because we've got the light of devotion, haven't we? And the light of the devotees, but we're surrounded by darkness all the time. The moment we leave here, back to Vedanta Manor, have you noticed the first thing that you come across is McDonald's? Oh. And why is it a big M? Maya! Welcome to Maya. Yeah. So we're surrounded by darkness. The light is the devotees and the word. That's why we chant. That's why we read. That's why we take shelter of other devotees. And that's why we follow the instruction of Sri Guru. Hare Krishna. Yeah. I was going to say, it helps me because I got here.
Hare Krishna. Just wanted to ask, when we are doing our sadhana and when we are chanting, the more we chant, the more I realize that I miss him a lot. So what kind of an emotion is this?
That's the emotion of the gopis, isn't it? When we look at the gopis, when Krishna wasn't around, what's the lamentation? They're not thinking about anything other than Krishna. Their meditation is Krishna, you know, so, isn't it? So this is the lamentation of the, this is the mood of the gopis. This is the mood that every devotee should really have, is that we're always thinking of Krishna. And if we're not around devotees, we're not around Krishna, then we lament not being around devotees and around Krishna. So, you know, so there is a number of instances, isn't it, where Krishna goes away or he disappears from the gopis and they're just beside themselves, but they decide themselves in such a way that the only thing that they're thinking of is Krishna. You know, so who's with my beloved Krishna? What's he up to? So, yeah, carry on.
So having said that, if I'm chanting and if I'm in the same mood, so am I on the right track?
You're doing devotional service, you're chanting and you're thinking of Krishna, I think you're definitely a pure devotee. I'd be concerned if you said, I was doing my service, I was chanting, but I really wasn't thinking of Krishna, and I was thinking that what I really need to do is get home for the next big Bollywood film. You know, then you know, so we, there is a little bit of a, you know, let's sort of see where we're going wrong there. But the fact that we're thinking of Krishna, and we look at Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was always thinking of Krishna. He was always thinking of his devotees, how to look after his devotees, how to encourage them. One of the things I love doing is listening to the Srila Prabhupada disciples, just talking about Srila Prabhupada. I had the privilege once of having four Prabhupada disciples stay at my home. And it was a week where I spent the whole week just listening to these amazing, extraordinary stories of their time with Srila Prabhupada and the very early days of ISKCON. Very humbled by the sacrifice that these devotees made. And one thing that they said is, we love Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada loved us. That's all we needed to know. And then they went, Prabhupada loved Krishna, Krishna loved Prabhupada, and because Krishna loved Prabhupada, Krishna loved us.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Any more? Okay. Thank you. Shambhavatanki. Yeah. Yeah.